Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
In the book of John, Jesus had this to say, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." It's one of seven I am statements. Jesus was claiming to be God. He said that time and time again, but he showed us why that's important to us. And in this particular verse, Jesus is promising to satisfy our souls, to bring contentment to these restless hearts. And he does so by being the very bread of life. And so he initiates that to us. We respond. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. It's a powerful, powerful statement. And the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, he is able to say that to us right now. Mm-hmm. I know out there in the world, there's a lot of discontentment. There's a lot of restlessness. There's a lot of people struggling to find happiness, a sense of joy, peace in life. And they're looking to the world. They're looking to what the world has to offer. And they're using money as a means to gobble up what the world is selling. And they buy it, and they're still not happy. And so they go after the next thing. They buy that, and they're still not happy. The reason is because only Jesus Christ can satisfy the deepest longings of our souls. If we're going to have those hungers met, if we're going to have that thirst quenched, Jesus is the only place that we can find what we're looking for. And so he says, "I am the bread of life." And that's what we want to talk about on today's broadcast. If you have an issue that you're dealing with, a restless heart, you're not content with the way life is for you right now, we want to point you into the Word of God. We would love to hear from you. So go ahead and call 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377. We're going to start in Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Eugene, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hello, hi. Hello to my co-workers, my fellow co-workers in Christ. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, and yes. I like the sound of that, my friend.
Indeed.
Great. Listen, I have a guy that's working on my job now. He just came in. He's a Jehovah's Witness, and he's a good brother, you know. But me and him, we got into conversations. He's 20 years older than me, so I'm being very respectful to him, which I should always be to anyone. And we got into the conversation. He told me, when you die, your body, you're finished until Christ comes back. That's it. But I told him, but what about the scripture that says, after the body is present with the Lord? You understand? So we went back and forth, and then I started to show him in scripture different times, like, what about the story that Jesus said about Lazarus and the rich man? You know, so he was like, oh, that was a parable. That's what he said. So I said, okay. So then it came up, I brought up, what about with Samuel when Saul was about to die and God stopped speaking to him and he went to a medium and he had her call up Samuel. So he said, oh, well, that was demonic. That's not true. Oh, that wasn't Samuel. But I said, listen, this is where the discussion went today. I said, I believe that God, that was Samuel, and God used that form to rebuke Samuel for what he did. I said, I don't think that, you know, God, I'm totally against any kind of medium or any kind of thing like that, which the word says in Leviticus. But I said that God still used Samuel to rebuke Saul for what he's done, for what he did, because what Samuel did say, everything came true. So then I said, that was my stance. And he totally would just shut it off and say, no, that's not true. That was demonic. What did the word say? You shouldn't listen to that in the Bible, what I'm saying. So we went back and forth with that. So I just want to get you your opinion, because I respect you guys' opinion. But the Holy Spirit, once I read the scripture over and over, and there were so many different reasons why I believe it, because even the medium was surprised when Samuel came up. So I said, just like Jesus said, when the Pharisees was like, he's casting these demons out in Beelzebul because he's from the devil, right? And I said that Jesus said, a kingdom will be divided. Satan will not do that because his kingdom will be divided. In this same form right here, I was trying to use that to illustrate that cannot be satanic.
Yeah, well, no, Eugene, what I would say on that, you're arguing with a Jehovah's Witness, right?
I wouldn't say it was arguing. We're not yelling or anything like that.
Yeah, I use the word argue, I'm meaning the sense of you're presenting an argument for truth, and he's presenting an argument for his belief system.
What I was saying was, I think scripture is the truth. So I don't think it should even be an argument when it comes up to scripture, because with Samuel, everything he said came to pass.
Yeah, that's right, Eugene. But here's the rub. I mean, here's what is going on. Okay. They have basically rewritten the New Testament to put Jesus in a different viewpoint. They do not believe that Jesus is God. They do not believe that he is deity. They just believe in Jehovah, basically the God of the Old Testament. They have rewritten different parts of the New Testament to agree with their theology, to agree with their doctrine. For example, John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They have rewritten that to say, and the Word was a little God, little G God. So I think the real issue there is to kind of focus on Jesus.
That's why I went back to what Jesus was saying about a kingdom cannot be divided.
Right.
Meaning that they were saying, no, that was satanic. But if that was satanic, why would he give an accurate prophecy that did come to pass, but would it rebuke me? Yeah. Satan will not rebuke.
Well, Eugene, what I'm going to tell you is, no matter how forcefully you argue that, and no matter how clearly you present that to him, it's going to bounce off. He's not open to that kind of talk. So what I would suggest is to try to keep your conversation focused on Jesus Christ and on Jesus Christ alone, the fact that he is the bread of life, and the fact that God's Spirit was sent by the Heavenly Father to make Jesus known to the world. And I would just center it on that. You're probably not going to make a lot of headway, but at least you're presenting the most important issue. And that's Jesus. Right. That's Jesus Christ Himself. So, what I would like to do for you, Eugene, we have a wonderful resource written by a friend of mine, Ron Rhodes. It's the 10 most important things you can say to a Jehovah's Witness. It's a fabulous little resource. And let me put you on hold, and we will put this in your hands. Okay.
All right. God bless you. Thank you so much.
And Eugene, we co-labor together, and God bless you for how he is using you to spread the good news about Jesus. So you hang on, we'll get this to you. Well, for anyone else that may want a copy of this, the 10 most important things you can say to a Jehovah's Witness, it is available at basicgospel.net. Just click the store link. It's one of the menu items up at the top of the page. Just click the store link, and you can find it on the store. This is a fabulous resource. I know many people have been helped by this. Again, it's the 10 most important things you can say to a Jehovah's Witness. Well, let's go down to New Orleans and talk with Tammy listening to us on WLNO. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you today?
I'm hanging in there. I just had a question about how do you find peace when you don't have, like family or anyone in your corner when you had a long history of, I would say, neglect, abandonment. And like you said, you shouldn't turn to the world for things. And so I'm just like really struggling with finding that peace, finding that happiness. I mean, I have two handsome sons. I have a car. I'm working on my own business, an apartment. I'm healthy. I mean,
got a lot of positive things there, right?
I should be happy.
Yeah. Well, here's a passage as you were talking. This kind of popped into my mind. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So that's not necessarily a feeling of peace. That is a right standing with God. We need to come to that point and realize that God is on our side, that he's not against us, that he really is for us. And the only way that we can see that is in the work of Jesus Christ, the fact that Jesus, Tammy, died to take away your sins, the punishment that you deserved. He stood in your place, and he directed that punishment toward himself, and he died for you. I remember as a kid when that truth hit my heart and my mind, I just couldn't believe it, that Jesus would actually die for me. And boy, my heart just cried out, I need the Lord. I need Jesus. I didn't know exactly what that meant, but that was such a real experience for me. But then Jesus was buried. He was put in a borrowed tomb, and his body stayed there for 3 days. And on that third day, he was gloriously resurrected, raised from the dead. And he was raised from the dead so that you could have life, not only life after you die physically, but life, eternal life here and now. And we receive that life when we turn to Jesus by faith. And a part of that life is this peace that I just read about. When we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God. And once we know that God is for us, that God is in our camp, that God is working for our best interest, then we can start to have the feelings of peace, the peace that passes understanding. So, Tammy, I ask, have you ever come to Christ by faith? Have you ever received his life? Are you a believer in the Lord?
I am a believer in God, but I think I am struggling a little bit because I'm looking for answers, and I think I'm looking for answers in all the wrong places. So I think I need to do this over again. Like, I don't know.
Well, Tammy, I told you there was a point in my life where I really knew that I needed Jesus, and I prayed to receive Christ. And then, the world just hit me hard, and all the temptations of the world just really tripped me up. And every time I fell, every time I got tripped up by the world, I would pray to receive Christ again. And I'd pray to receive Christ again. And I never was really secure that I was a true believer. I struggled with that. I doubted with that. And then finally I came to a point, and a guy read a verse to me in a Bible study in Colossians, and it said, "When you were dead in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with Christ. He forgave all your sins." And something clicked, and I said, "Lord, from this point forward, I know that I know that I know." So I had a point where I had to drive the stake. And I think that's what you're saying right now. You want to drive that stake and really anchor yourself to the finished work of Jesus Christ. And Tammy, we would be privileged to lead you in that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, can I just do a couple of things? And listeners, be praying right now. This is an incredible moment. This isn't just a prayer. This is God doing an amazing work in a person's life. bringing truth to Tammy's soul, bringing peace with God to her heart in such a special way. So be praying for this. This is significant. This is death to life stuff. And so, Tammy, in Romans chapter 10, here's what Paul said, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'm asking, can you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord?
Yes, I do confess that Jesus is Lord.
Do you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead?
Yes, I do believe.
Well, then that's what God has worked in your heart. The only way that you can believe that in your heart is because God's done something in your heart, and that means you're saved. That means that you have gone from death to life. And what I would like to do right now, Tammy, is just to lead you in a prayer where you can express that verbally, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
So just I'll say a phrase, and then if you'll just repeat after me, okay?
Okay.
Lord Jesus, thank you for dying in my place.
Lord Jesus, thank you for dying in my place.
Thank you for forgiving all of my sins.
Thank you for forgiving me for all of my sins.
Thank you that you were raised from the dead.
Thank you that you were raised from the dead.
So that I can have life everlasting.
So that I can have life everlasting.
I now receive you into my heart.
And now I receive you into my heart.
And I thank you for making me alive together with
you. And I thank you for making me alive.
Together with you.
Together with you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that prayer.
You are so welcome, Tammy. And this is a moment. I mean, this is a significant moment. And what I want you to do is to write this moment down in your Bible. I want you to write today's date and even mark the time of the day in your Bible. Because you're going to have times where you're doubt in the future. And this can be an anchor to help you when those storms of doubt come your way that can keep you grounded. So write today's date, and whenever you doubt, take a look at your Bible and look at that date, and you can say, that was the day that it all became clear. That was the day when God worked in my heart a belief that he had raised Jesus from the dead, and he enabled me to confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Okay.
And
thank you so much.
Well, you are so welcome, Tammy. And we want to journey with you. I want to encourage you to keep tuning in to the broadcast. But we also want to send you some information that I think can be helpful. There's a CD that we're going to send you called Drive the Stake. It will be an amplified look at what the gospel is and what it really means to us. I think that will be a great benefit, and we have some other resources as well. So let me put you on hold, and we're going to send that. But before I do, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're a part of the family of God. We belong to Christ, and we belong to each other, and it just doesn't get any better than that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so you hang on and know that God is for you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's in your camp, and that's good news. You hang on, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Tammy. Love calls like that.
Yeah, good stuff.
It is good stuff, and it really ties to this subject that we've been talking about, contentment.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of times we're not content, and as she said, looking for answers in all the wrong places.
That's, and yet aware that there are some really good things in her life.
Absolutely.
Why can't I be thankful for them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Tammy, we're rejoicing with you.
Yes.
I think heaven is rejoicing right now. This is amazing stuff.
Yeah.
So,
well, if somebody out there prayed along with Tammy, let us know.
Absolutely.
We'd love to hear from
Absolutely.
You.
That's, I think that's the power of radio.
Yes.
I mean, as somebody else is kind of laying bare their hearts and soul and and God is doing a work there. It's happening to those who are tuning in as well. So if you prayed along with Tammy, would you write to us? You can write to us at Bob. You can send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. That's bob@basicgospel.net. We would love to hear from you, to hear your story, and to be able to rejoice with you, and also to send you some of these resources as well to help you in your journey with Christ. So again, if you prayed along with Tammy, or if you're struggling as Tammy was and need more answers, some more help, write to us. Send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Let's go to somebody else down in New Orleans. Ann, listening to us on WLNO. Hi, Ann.
Hi, how are you today?
You're doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing good. I had a question. This person on the radio claims he's a prophet, or the prophet from God, claims that God had told him that a rich man cannot go to heaven. And I cannot possibly believe that's true, because for one thing, he said, whosoever will. And another thing, I thought about Solomon. God told him, he said, since you did not ask for riches, I will bless you with riches. So why would he bless him with something that's going to condemn him? I know the Bible does mention it's about going through the eye of a needle. But basically, what are your thoughts on that subject?
Well, the question, I mean, there was a story. This rich man came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Uh-huh,
and so Jesus said, do the commandments, and he listed off a few that he had done, and then Jesus said, well, that's great. Now go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me.
Right.
Well, and the guy said, I can't do that, and he went away sad because he was a very wealthy person. Well, what was the point of that story? Well, this rich man was dependent upon his wealth, his riches, to buy him eternal life. And if you're depending upon the things of this world, it's impossible to be saved. But with God, all things are possible. He has sent to us Jesus. So anyone who turns to Jesus, whether rich or poor, it doesn't matter, will be saved.
I believe that.
I believe it's true as well. So, you know, somebody saying that a rich person can't go to heaven, I don't think they're reading the scripture.
That's totally against the scripture. Lord, I can't go against the scripture, I don't believe that either. But I couldn't believe the man said that, but he did.
Yeah.
Like I said, it wasn't David was quite rich, but he was a man after God's own heart. Jesus told, he didn't tell every rich man to get rid of their riches. Like you say, he told that man to get rid of his riches because he knew what it meant to him.
Right.
Now, he put above salvation, am I correct?
That's exactly right. And Ann, the great passage on that is 1 Timothy chapter 6. There's encouragement to those who are wealthy in this world to use their resources to advance the kingdom.
What chapter would that be?
1 Timothy chapter 6. So I encourage you to read that.
1 Timothy chapter 6. I thank you very much. I'll read that.
You're welcome, Ann. Thanks for your call today. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you for tuning in with us. Thank you for letting us be a part of your lives. We had a special broadcast today. Tammy, a new sister in Christ, we rejoice with her. And I hope you, our listeners, are rejoicing as well. We have a wonderful offer on the table this month, a great CD series called Grace and Money. It deals with this issue of contentment, the very thing that Tammy was struggling for in life. Wanting to find, wanting to experience a sense of peace, but as she said, was looking for it in all the wrong answers. Well, this particular CD will help point you to the person of Jesus Christ, the only one that can bring peace and contentment to our hearts. We want you to have that. We want to put that into your hands. And it's available for a gift of any amount. And your gifts to Basic Gospel help us reach out to people like Tammy in New Orleans and folks just like her all around the world.
Absolutely.
So make a gift today. Be as generous as you possibly can, an investment into the lives of other people, and an investment in the power of the gospel to change the lives of other people is what we're asking you to do. So give today, give generously. All the information is at basicgospel.net. Well, we'll see you again tomorrow at this same time. Bye-bye.